Father, we thank you and give you praise and glory, Lord, this morning. Thank you for the fellowship that we have with you and the fellowship we have one with another. We thank you, Lord, as we declare today that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Even so, let it be. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Today, this is really part two of the Favor Magnets message. Yesterday, Favor Magnets and the King's Favor Everywhere. We defined what favor was and in general, and particularly we defined what God's favor was, and then the King's favor. Now that the word of the king is final, and then he gives that, puts out that golden scepter, that's it. It's nothing anybody can do about it. when he has a favor unto you, it's just like that. Praise God. There is nothing anyone or devil can do about it. And all the would-be destroyers, God turns them around to be unwilling. That's right. There would be destiny destroyers at first, you know. God turns them around to be unwilling destiny helpers, whether they want it or not, because of the favor of God that's upon your life. Today, I want to advance the subject matter a little more. I mean, talking about amazing, I mean, favor. You can call it ridiculous favor if you want. That God puts upon some, and maybe you will be or are one of those. We'll see and we'll find out. But more importantly today, I will be talking about favor management, essentials of favor management. Now, you can't buy this by money. If you don't know it, you're going to lose a lot of things. So this is valuable information that is going to be given to us today by the Holy Spirit. So we need to pay attention and engage in the Spirit. It's powerful stuff that the Lord will show you today. You know, first of all, we imparted the favor of God upon everyone yesterday. So you should be walking in favor now. Praise God. You say, well, I'm favored, I'm blessed, I'm highly favored, I'm walking in favor everywhere you go. The favor of God is with you. Goodness of God running after you like that, you know. And even from we've seen stories that even from the womb, before some people were born, I mean, somebody like Jacob, before he was even born, the word of the Lord said concerning him that he's favored. Jacob, I have favored. Esau, I have rejected. You know, before they were even born, this man carried the favor of God. And we saw tremendous power that came upon him. Someone did try to suppress him. Laban did try to cheat him of many things for 20 years. We told those stories yesterday. But when the fullness of time came, for that favor of God to manifest fully upon his life, well, God gave him incredible inspiration, caused him to change the course of nature and bring a transfer of wealth. Glory to God. Everything that Laban owned, he did it legally too. You know, and it was amazing. God showed him what he needed to do and caused all the good cattle to come his way. And by agreement, he already said, well, you know, the ones that are spotted and grizzled, which nobody even likes, those will be mine. Well, God showed him how to fix that. It was rigged in his favor. Glory to God, you know, to get back all those years. Laban tried to take from him. And we talked about some other favor stories that we saw, even favor when the king would just give out an order to favor somebody, and there's nothing anybody could do about it. There were some stories that we looked at, and some of them were the story of Joseph, the story of Esther, story of Nehemiah, story of Ezra, story of the Shunammite woman, and story of Mephibosheth. And how the king's favor worked for all of them. Praise the Lord. And examine your life and see whether you've been a vessel of God's favor. You know, if you look in your life, you see certain things, you know, that, you know, God may have been doing where you didn't deserve it. And it looked like even sometimes you had an unfair advantage from God, you know. So, you know, it's called God's favor. And remember, we established God as the king yesterday. As the king, he introduced himself like that. I am the Lord, the creator of Israel, your king, Isaiah 43 and 15. And we know that as a king, he has his own kingdom, he has his own country. We talked about his reputation yesterday and so forth. Reputation of the king, you know, is measured by the welfare of the citizens of that country. And so we looked at that, talked about that yesterday and so on. Now, favor, while favor comes from God by divine election, I'm going to talk about that in a minute also, retaining it and even growing that favor requires some things which we are going to talk about today. Now, let's talk about divine election. Divine election. We mentioned some of that yesterday, but I wanted to be a part of this lesson as well. Romans chapter 9 explains it best. It said, when Rebecca was pregnant with twins, that was the wife of Isaac, the children, having done neither good nor evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, it was said to her, the elder will serve the younger. I mean, so it's this thing that's called divine election. There's a purpose in God's mind for it. It wasn't because of something that Jacob already did or Esau hadn't done. No, it was, you know, God's divine election. Now, God's election, though, is preceded by his foreknowledge. That's right. So Romans chapter 8 explains that to us in verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, them he also chose, and predestined them to become a certain way. They will be like the Christ. But he knew about them, too. Foreknowledge. So God already had foreknowledge on Jacob and Esau. Nobody else knows what God knew. And it's the same way today. You don't know. And I don't know. And it's very unlikely that God would tell anybody all of it. I'll tell you some things, but we can never have the capacity, the full capacity of God's knowledge that he knows about things and the future. And give us a little here and a little there, but only he knows everything. But we know enough. Praise God. You know, what God gives us is enough. If it gives you too much, it will actually literally blow your mind. You know, so can handle it, but it gives us enough. And once we realize that the favor of God is upon a person, well, we need to help them nurture it and grow it. And for you yourself, if the favor of God is upon you, you've got to nurture and grow that favor. Now, people don't really actually know that the favor of God can grow. It's like everything, anything. Jesus described it, you know, in the story that he told. He said the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which indeed is the least of all of the seeds, right? That's how it starts. But, you know, when it's all said and done, he said it is, you know, powerful, grows up to become a great tree. You can read that for yourself in Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 and 32. Starts off with a small seed at first, a list of everything. But when it is grown, comes the greatest among herbs. This is a secret of how the things of God work. You know, everything can grow. You can grow your faith. You can grow your understanding. The favor of God can also grow. You know, Daniel chapter 2 also explains growth in the things of the kingdom of God. Yeah. Daniel was explaining the vision of Nebuchadnezzar and said, well, you know, I saw till a stone was cut out of a mountain without hands. And this same stone, which looks like a small man's hand at first, then grew to fill up the whole earth. It started like something little. Then it grows and grows and grows. You know, so the scripture bears this out in many places. You know, that something may start small, but it may grow bigger. Job chapter 8 and verse 7. Though thy beginnings were small, yet thy latter end should be greatly increased. I mean, this concept is born throughout the scriptures. Something starts out small, but it grows. Even life, as we know it, life starts out small. A man and a woman come together, something that nobody sees, maybe under the microscope, but, you know, something starts growing in there. And then, you know, some months later, this baby is grown and comes out. And then the baby starts all over again, you know, it'll grow, you know. And they keep growing and growing, you know. So, I mean, this concept is throughout the scriptures. The same way for favor and grace from the Lord. The scriptures say grow in grace, you know. I mean, so it is scriptural that you can actually grow the favor of God. Now, Jesus told some parables. We call these parables the talents or the pound or whatever, depending on which gospel writer you're reading from. You know, Luke might call it pound. You know, Matthew might call it talents or whatever. But same story. I mean, same lesson. You know, we see that something was able to grow there as well. Started out with, called his servants together and gave the one 5 talents and the other 2 and the other 1 according to their several ability. Well, if you read that story further, we'll discover that the thing actually grew in their hands. You know, they were able, at least 2 of them, you know, they were able to do something with the talent, the favor, and the grace that's upon them, whatever, and able to multiply. Glory to God. You know, they did multiply that. So if you didn't know before, now you know it. You can read one of those stories in Matthew 25. Where it said the master distributed to them according to their several ability. And then they went out, you know, from Matthew 25:15. They, you know, they went out and so forth. You know, he gave them this and that. And he told them, you know, occupy. Combine that with the story of Luke. And then when he came back, you know, one said, well, my, you know, 5 talents, I gained 5 more. Well, another place said, my talent, I gained more. Well, The two said this again, two more. So we see that, you know, there was some growth in it. Well, the one, and I'm going to be talking about limiting factors in faith, I mean, favor management. We're talking about that. The one that didn't do anything with it. There were many things wrong with that person. You know, as the scripture says, were you comparing one or another, you're unwise. So perhaps he was comparing himself, said, well, why would the other one have five? Why would I this one get two? And why did I get only one? Well, the Bible says, according to their several ability. But later on, he would say with his own mouth that I was afraid and I went ahead. So I will be talking about that fear factor today. Now, the key and the core factors of favor management. And why must we be able to manage that favor? Well, good stewardship. You know, scriptures throughout some of the lessons that Jesus told, even some of the parables, he said, look, it's time for you to give account of your stewardship. To parables of the master that called the stewards together to give account. Even the story that I'm telling now about the talents. Came time they had to give account. And so on and so forth. And at the end of those lessons, you know, the summary was usually something like this. Well, he that is faithful in little will also be faithful in much. So that was usually the summary. So even the one that had the 10 already, I said, well, take away from this one that had the only one and give it to the one that had 10. And everybody said, but master, he already has 10. And Jesus said, yeah, you know, because he that hath, you know, will be given more, that he will have even the more abundance. And he that hath not, even what he seemed to have shall be taken from him, yeah, because he did nothing with it. So now I've established the concept of growth in the things of God. Even favor that is imputed unto you, we can grow in it. We can grow in faith. We can grow in love. I mean, even naturally, these things happen. You know, when people meet each other, you know, they start to fall in love, they grow in love, and so on. The same thing with us. When we meet Jesus, we start to fall in love with him, and the love starts to get deeper. There's nothing about the things of God that cannot grow. Even understanding the gifts of the Spirit and hearing from God, we can grow in it. We may start out not knowing how the thing works, and then we get some help and get, you know, try to figure it out. Samuel was a young man, he was an altar boy in the days of Eli, the priest. His mother, Anna, to fulfill her vow, taking him, you know, to the house of God. But this young man, who was going to become a great prophet later on, started out not having any clue about God's voice. You know, God would call him one day, and he would run to Eli and say, did you call me? I was in the middle of the night. The man said, no, go back to sleep. I did not call you. Again, God called him, you know, a few times like that. Finally, Eli figured out, must be God calling this young man. So, here, come, my son, let me tell you what to do. And he gave him some instruction of what to do. And he said, well, next time he calls you, be paying attention now. Don't come running to me. It is God that is calling you. And just, you know, listen and answer and hear what he wants to say to you. So the man coached him. You know, the next thing we know, Samuel is figuring it out. You know, now the Lord said to Samuel, and the Lord said to Samuel, and the Lord said to Samuel. Doesn't need to run to anybody anymore. And he's growing. And God is showing him tremendous things. I mean, he's actually ordering the nation by the wisdom of God and the voice of God and the things that God is showing. This is somebody that started out, didn't have a clue. You know, so we can grow in everything. Even Jesus, we're told, you know, after age 12, we didn't hear any more of him, but he went on home after they found him 3 days missing, found him in the temple arguing and debating with scholastic folks and so on, the things of God. Said, well, he went home with Joseph and Mary. I was subject on him, and he grew in grace. You know, I mean, everything can grow. Okay, so we'll settle that. Now, we can grow in God's favor. So settle that in your heart. But one of the methods I'm going to talk about, essentials of favor management today. We're talking about some blockers and some enablers for favor management. And if you manage it well, then you get more. We've seen it in these parables I talked about. The ones that managed it well, they got more. The one that didn't manage it properly lost it altogether. So now, the favor of God can also be lost. That's right. Killed, actually. Not lost, because God's calling without repentance is gifts. But it can be killed by two things. There are more, but these two things that I want to talk about today will kill that favor faster than anything else. You know, one of them is disobedience. That's right. And the other is fear. And I'm going to be talking about those two things. Now, disobedience kills God's mandate in your life quicker than anything else. We saw that in Genesis. The mandate of God, that favor and the grace, that power and the anointing, the authority was given to Adam. He said, look, Adam, you are in charge. Whatever you say goes, you know, whatever you say goes. That's what dominion means. Dominion is actually a lot higher than authority. Dominion is what you say goes. Authority can still be limited, but dominion, no. Whatever you say, I mean, you're like a king. The word of the king is final. Nobody can debate in the kingdom. You know, so when you have a true monarchy like that, you know, speak and that's it. Even Bible says God himself speaks and it is done. He commands and he stands fast. So the word of the king like that, and he put dominion upon Adam, gave it to him. But he killed it by disobedience. So we see that disobedience can kill everything. I mean, this same Adam that at first commanded everything, spoke to the animals, you know, whatever he said and everything, even his presence alone, dominated everything. The glory of God that was oozing from him, put everything in check, you know. This same Adam later run away from the same glory, yeah, run away, hiding himself, everything started becoming wild, you know, around him. Plants became poisonous, animals became wild, and everything, because of one man's disobedience, you know. So that's how quickly disobedience can kill the anointing, can kill the mandate of God in a person's life. People are even anointed, great ministers can be anointed. And disobedience and kill their, you know, Samson was a great man. He was anointed with, you know, when the Spirit of God came upon him, you know, like that. And he could do incredible things. Well, one day through disobedience, he knew not to do it. Don't do it now. But he did it. You know, he was not supposed to tell of that secret. Keep that to yourself. That's also, you know, wisdom and foolishness. I'll be talking about that too. And those things can kill the anointing very quickly. Now, when someone is anointed with God's favor, fear also, you know, fear. I mean, fear is dangerous thing. There is a good fear, the fear of the Lord, you know, beginning of wisdom and so on. But, you know, that's Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, and so on. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and so on. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the fear of the Lord can be good. But we're not talking about that one now. We're talking about, you know, this other morbid kind of fear that this man who had the one talent had. He said, I was afraid. He didn't want to step out. You know, he thought he was going to fail. Well, if you think you're going to fail, you've already failed. If you don't take the chance just because you thought you're going to fail, then you've already failed. You know, you're going to have to take a chance and trust the Lord. And I've given this example many times in Matthew chapter 14 of Peter, right? When Jesus was walking on the water, the boat had left the station. Jesus, the Son of God, said, no problem. I'll just catch up. I'll just walk on the water. So just walking on the water, and they come. Everybody's scared. I've never seen anybody walking on water. It must be a ghost. They cry out, you know. Peter cries out, Lord, is that you? But Jesus said, it is I. I said, well, if it is you, then bid me come. You know, and the Lord said, fine, come. And Peter stepped out on the word. That's right. He wasn't exactly on the water. He stepped out on the word because he was waiting. If it is you and you tell me to come, I will step out on that word and I will walk on water just like you. So Peter stepped out on the word. Now, when you step out by faith, you got to keep your eyes on that same word. You can't start in the spirit and then try to finish it off in the flesh. That's not going to work. He started out in the spirit, stepped out on the word. People thought he was stepping out on water. Yes, but he was stepping out on the word. The word that said, come. And as he went, he came. And he actually was walking on the water. Peter actually walked on the water the whole time that he kept his eyes on Jesus. Yeah. It was only when he looked away from the word. You got to keep your eyes on the target that the word gave you. And you keep, you just say, come. So his target was to get to Jesus. And, you know, if you keep your eyes on the promise, then it's all good. But if you start to look around on distractions and different things, well, there's always distractions. Then all of a sudden the waves look boisterous. They were boisterous the whole time. You know, but you see, all the other disciples that were in that boat, you know, they might have wondered or laughed at Peter when he was sinking. But see, Peter did what none of them could do. He walked on water. That's right. Actually did walk on water. Nobody else, none of them else did that. Peter did. But in order for him to do it, I had to step out by faith. See, this is how a favor of God in your life works. When God puts his favor on you, you got to step out by faith on that favor, just like he stepped out on that word that said, come. But if you don't, then you will just be there. And if you don't understand it, you know, you will miss out on a lot of things. Now, fear, you know, was what caused the calm that Jesus said to Peter, and he was walking on it. Fear was what caused him to start sinking. And Jesus said, how come did thou doubt? O you of little faith, why were you afraid? You know, the moment he looked around, he was afraid, I can't walk on water. Then he starts to sink. Well, you walked on water just a few minutes ago. Keep walking, Peter. You know, so that fear, that unbelief, and that doubt, they all work together, see? And fear, you know, borrows on unbelief, borrows on, you know, all these things. They just work together to kill God's prescription for your life. His prescription might be for you to do great things because the favor of God is upon you. Now, fear will kill that thing very quickly. Also, lack of knowledge. Kill that thing very, very quickly. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Powerful stuff. He said, my people are destroyed, perish you know, for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. They don't even know what is upon them. They don't even know the favor that God already put upon them. They don't know it. Paul would describe this same thing. This is why people need to be taught. That's why we're teaching this lesson. Paul would describe this same thing in Galatians chapter 4. He talked about a little boy, baby. It's a prince. It's born to the monarch. It's a, you know, his father is a king and he's born. So that makes him a prince. A prince is the coming ruler. He's the one that's going to inherit everything, you know. And he's a chosen one. That's what a prince is. A chosen one. Take over everything. But he doesn't know who he is because he's just a boy. He's just a baby, actually. So when he's born, he's a baby. Has no clue. You know, even though he's prince of all, he's no different than a servant. And sometimes a servant even better until he figures out who he is. So this script, these lessons are told in scriptures and they are powerful. Now, when you begin to understand who you are and what God has already put upon you, and you become very dangerous to the devil. So the devil doesn't want you to know it. You know, he's going to do everything he can. Make sure you don't figure out who you are. Because once you figure it out, it's game over for the devil. He doesn't want you to figure it out. And he will try many things, you know, mix up the truth with some poison, a little leaven the whole lump. He knows he give you pure leaven, you won't take it. So take some measures of leaven some measures of meal and some measures of leaven, get it all mixed up in there. And he knows once you have that mixed up stuff, you can't do it. You know, and the devil will be winning because of lack of knowledge and the lack of the real truth of the word of God. Jesus said in John 8 and 32, when you know the real truth, that's what's going to make you free. You know, you know, and if you don't know it, you know, he said, ye shall know the truth. It is the truth that you know that can make you free. If you don't, the truth is there. Everybody, you know, nobody is free just because the truth is there until they know that truth and they can apply that truth. So if you don't know it, can't apply it, yeah, you will still be in bondage. Even though you've been made free, you continue to be entangled still. You know, if you don't understand the grace and favor of God that's upon you, well, even though it may be upon you, you may either lose it, it may either die, or you may not even discover it. You know, so we need some discovery. Well, yesterday's lesson was about you discovering that you are favored. But today is about you managing that favor. So the essentials of favor management. Well, number one, you got to know who you are and what God has put upon you. The favor of God. That's right. God has put it upon you. Paul said it this way. He said, look, the grace of God was upon me in such a way that I even outdid those who were before me. But I don't frustrate the grace of God. I let that grace of God have its full work in me. That's right. That grace, you can call it also favor. The grace of God is there to enable you to do everything we do in life is by the grace of God. Grace is the enabler for all those things. But the favor of God is a specific type of grace, you know, where things just fall in place for you. You have an advantage. You just get an advantage. God brings it to you. And it wasn't because, you know, you deserved it, you know, but you got it. But once you get it, though, you've got to manage it and in order for you to keep it, to sustain it, and to even grow it. We talked about, you know, the lesson we concluded before we started this one was on the generational blessings that come to your children. Just because they're your children. That's what the Bible says, the seed of the righteous. And we covered many of those promises. Well, when they get those blessings automatically because they are your seed, well, then the responsibility comes upon them to be able to retain it. You know, it'll come to them automatically, but for them to retain it, they themselves must now walk in the integrity of their heart before the Lord, just like you did. And you are doing, you're walking in integrity, therefore the blessing goes to your children. Now, when they get that blessing, if they don't walk in the integrity of their heart, they will lose it. You know, so that's it. You know, so you've got to walk in the integrity of your heart. You've got to keep working at this knowledge of favor in order for you to keep it, to grow it even. So let me be more specific in some things here. There are some core, I want to talk about some core themes of favor management, you know, and some of them are, you know, you've got to understand that it comes from God. The understanding is key in everything. If you have understanding, you understand how favor of God comes into your life. You know, not because you did something or didn't do something, but, you know, we read that yesterday in Psalm 44, verse 3. He said, what? They got not the land in possession by their own power or their own arm or their own this or that, but God gave it to them because he had a favor unto them. So, a favor unto you. Once you understand that, that is so key. That's number one. And we cover that because we know that we can now become beneficiaries of God's favor. And that's something that we know now. And now you must be walking in favor. Understanding, you know, we've read in this Bible many times about these children of Issachar. In 1 Chronicles 12 and 32, they were men of understanding. That understanding gave them an advantage over their brethren. So that's verses. So, said their brethren were at their commandment because they knew what Israel ought to do. They had understanding. They knew how to, you know, walk in that understanding. So, understanding is key. Knowledge and understanding, they go together. When you have knowledge and you really know who you are, which is what devil doesn't want you to know, and then you begin to, you know, you are on the right footing. So that's one thing. The next thing is humility in walking in the favor of God. You humble yourself. Scripture says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due time, you know, he will raise you up. Well, he might have raised you up, and if you don't humble yourself, then pride will bring you down. 1 Peter 5 and 6 tells you, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, and he might lift you up in due time. Well, so, the more you realize the grace of God, you walk in humility. If you don't, then pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, the best example of that, the scripture tells us that point blank, but the best example of it is the story of Nebuchadnezzar. You know, where, I mean, God had raised him up, giving him the kingdoms of the world. He was a king of kings, we're told. But he forgot about that. And he thought within himself that, I mean, one day he said, is this not great Babylon that I have built for the excellency of my brightness and for the might of my glory and by my kingdom? And I just kind of say all these things. Well, there was tremendous favor upon the man. Even God put Israel under him. Yeah. Jeremiah told many of them, said, look, you got to put your neck under the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. If you don't, you will be killed and you will die. You will not make it. You got to put your neck under the... I mean, God raised up this Nebuchadnezzar. He was great. He was a king of kings. Daniel told him that he held of gold. And he subdued nations and everything. You know, came there, even subdued Israel. Carried away their gold and everything. Carried them into captivity. He did too. And God put it in his hand to do it. Well, punishing Israel, of course, for their rebellion and so on. But the day he forgot, you know, that he was God. And he began to stride in the palace and say, look at all these things. See these hanging gardens of Babylon. See all these other things that I've done by the brightness of my glory and for my majesty and all these things. Well, the Lord wanted to show us that God can take care of, you know, that too, you know, and the, by decree of the Holy Watchers, demand of the Holy Ones, the word came and struck him down. God turned his heart, a monkey, an animal for 7 years. You know the story. At the end of his days, say, I, Nebuchadnezzar, my reasoning returned unto me at the end of my days. And now let me tell you something. All who walk in pride, God is able to abase. He said that finally at the end. Well, should have, you know, known that from the beginning. But God allowed those stories to be there in the Bible to help us. Pride is a killer. Killer of the favor of God in your life. Kill that thing. Just like fear will kill it. Pride will kill it. Disobedience will kill it. So many things that will kill it. But here are some things that will make it flourish. Instead of fear, faith and boldness. The righteous are bold as a lion. Well, even Hebrews 4 and 16 says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. I mean, you've got to be bold. You have to step out of that boat boldly. Don't be afraid of anything. Because the word already said, come. Glory to God. You know, so, you know, I told people, you know, this parable many times. I said, look, every shot that you don't take is a shot that you already missed. The ball is in your hand. The shot clock is winding down. And you're looking at it and you don't take that shot because you're thinking in your heart, well, if I don't make it, I'll be a villain. If I lose the game, and the game is on the line, and shot clock and game clock, everything is winding down. And you got the opportunity to put up the last shot. If you don't take it, you already missed it. You know, now, there are some people that will pass up that ball. They'll pass it up. But some people live for that moment. They want the ball in that moment. Some of these great ball players, I'm talking about basketball now, they want the ball in that moment. Say, clear out, give me the ball. I'm one-on-one. I'm going to take the last shot. Whether they are falling out of bounds or anything, they are going to prop that shot and it's going to be nothing but the net, the bottom of the net. But others, they are timid and afraid. And they are going to pass the ball because they don't want to take that shot because they say, wow, if I take the shot, what if I miss it? Well, what if you make it? You know, why do you think you're going to miss it? Why don't you think you are going to make it? Well, if you don't put up that shot, then you already missed the shot. So every shot you don't take is a shot you already missed. Now, these are, so the favor of God will bring opportunities to your life. And if you are afraid, it will kill that thing very quickly. If you don't take that, you say, well, I was afraid, so I buried the talent. Well, you're going to lose it. It'll be taken from you. giving to somebody else. The favor of God will create opportunities for you. And many people don't know how to discover these opportunities. Well, they are there. The Lord promised it too. He said in Isaiah 48 and 17, you know, say, I am the Lord that teaches you how to profit. Now, these opportunities are there. God will be the one to teach you how to make something out of it. But if you don't look to the Lord, and if you don't trust him and ask of him this knowledge, well, you might pass up a golden opportunity. There'll be regret. You know, a lot of people have regret in life because of some tremendous opportunities that God. Now, when God brings, let me say this too. When God brings you an opportunity to do something great, you know, it's not always packaged in gold. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. You know, it may be packaged as a small package, and inside it might be great things, but you got to open the package. You know, one time, you know, Lord showed me packages and said it as a parable. Even in this, on this platform, I said, well, the packages are falling. You got to get up, open it, discover what's inside. Now, if you don't open that package, you may never know what's inside. And God will not necessarily give it to you, you know, in a package of gold wrap. Look at Jesus himself. He knew what he had to do, but he had to come as a baby, as a helpless baby. He didn't come with, you know, blazing thunders and everything from heaven. Well, some other time he'll do that, but this first time around he didn't. And it shows us that, look, you know, what God packages for you, you got to trust the Lord. And God won't tell you everything all at once, but he tell you one thing, you do that thing, you trust him in that thing, then he tell you the next. But I am the Lord that will teach you how to profit. Isaiah 48 and verse 17. The favor of God will teach you, will bring opportunities your way, and God will teach you. Psalm 32 and verse 8, you know, I will teach you and I will instruct you in the way that you should go, and I will guide you with my eye. Guide you means to keep you from making, you know, regrettable errors. But you got to lean on him and he will teach you. So we need teaching. We need coaching from the Lord too. And the Lord can use people also to help you, just like Eli helped, you know, Samuel. So you see how I'm putting it, the contrast of faith and fear. Contrast of lack of knowledge and learning. You know, we need wisdom in order for you to be able to manage and sustain the favor that God puts upon you. You're going to need wisdom. You need also good stewardship. You need integrity. You know, God has to be able to trust you. You know, can he trust you with these things? And can he trust you for you yourself to trust him? That's right. And he puts opportunities your way. You must trust him, you know, because he won't, you know, if he says, look, let's go pass on to the other side. Well, he already said it. Well, he trusts you that you can, you know, get through it. But do you trust him that he will get you through it? And then, can he trust you in situations like that? Or are you going to disappoint him? And they disappointed Jesus. And he woke up, they woke him up and said, oh, man, how long will I be with you guys? Why are you always so fearful? How come is it you have no faith in anything? Yeah, so you're going to get to the desired end. Jeremiah 29:11 says, he calls it the expected end. Yeah, if he says, let's go over to the other side, well, you're going to get to the other side. It doesn't look, matter what it looks like right now. You got to trust him. God brings that opportunity your way. You got to take it. Praise God. If you don't take it, you already lost it. Now, and when something is cooking in your life, when God is cooking something, you got to nurture it and let it you know, blossom. A blossom animal balloon into something. You know, now, sometimes people, I mean, look at Joseph. There was something in his life that attracted favor at the beginning. God already put it there. But it was little favor. Yeah. His father favored him above others. So it was a little favor. And gave him a rainbow coat and everything. Well, that caused problems. But nonetheless, he had little favor. You know, but as he continued to walk in the integrity of his heart, all the would-be destiny destroyers couldn't do it. Finally, this favor ballooned to something tremendous. He went through a lot. See, and God won't tell you what's between point A and point B. He won't tell you all of it. He tells you, man, scare you off. You know, but you got to trust him. God never told Joseph all the things he would go through when God was hinting him that it was going to be great. You know, but he went through. He stood right there. The integrity of his heart. He would not allow the seductress or anybody, you know, to derail him. Stood right there. And at the end, he blossomed into something tremendous. He became the ruler of almost the world at that time. Everybody came and bowed down to him. Started with a small favor. Glory to God, you know. So, you got to nourish the integrity. I mean, you nourish the favor by the integrity of your heart. Stewardship is very important. You know, the blessing that God gives you must be managed with integrity. The favor, you cannot abuse it for self-interest and so forth. So many people don't understand how to be a blessing. And when God begins to favor you, they think it's just for themselves only. No. I mean, why would God give you much more than you need? I mean, just think about it. When there is an overflow of abundance in your life, abundance, grace, even abundance, wealth, and different things just come into your way. And this favor covers so many aspects. So I'm just throwing this out and throwing that out. Why? God doesn't really need to give you all that abundance. All he needs to give you everything you need. But you get, when you have all that abundance, it is for you to be a channel of blessing. Out of the belly of him that believeth on me shall flow forth rivers of living water. Those rivers of living water, according to Ezekiel chapter 47, when they go out like that, and they issue out, he said, you know, everything that came in contact with will be healed and be a great multitude of fish also. I mean, that's what the favor of God, the blessing of God produces in your life, is for you to be a conduit, you know, and a blessing to others. But if you, that blessing keeps coming to you and there is no channel, then it becomes a lake. And eventually the thing will stink with stench because there's no outlet and that thing will be killed. But if you can give away the fruits of that favor, God will always bring more to you. If God can trust you to give it away, then he will always make a way to give it more to you. That's it. That's how it works. The more you can give it away for God, not just give it away foolishly, but you can give it away for God, you have to be a good steward also, then the more he will bring to you. Hallelujah. And so, good stewardship is useful. And you can't use the favor of God in your life, you know, to bully others. Some people, God will promote them and then they become mean, you know, and so forth. And they start out well, you know, they don't end up well. And it's a little pride, it's a little arrogance. It's a little not trembling at God's word that causes it. Read the story of Asa. I think we did that, you know, some time ago. You know, it started out well, but one day along the way, just because, you know, he did did a little bit of something wrong, trusted in the arm of flesh, and then, you know, a prophet came and rebuked him, and he was angry at that rebuke. And then, you know, from that point on, you know, the graces of God that was upon his life began to diminish. That pride, who are you to tell me this? You know, begin to erode the favor of God from his life. He was a great man at first. He even deposed the queen mother, his own mother. He deposed her of being queen mother because she was serving idols. He cleaned up the palace, burnt down all the high places. He served the Lord in the integrity of his heart at first. And then when pride got in there, when he did no longer trembled at the word of God, and he thought he had it all made, he ended up badly. In fact, he began to, you know, be cruel and torment his own people. And different things began to happen. And he ended up badly. And even he would not seek to the Lord at the end. And so on. So, you know, he became an abuser of power. You know, he went and locked up the prophet and spoke to him and so on. You know, so when you do that, well, you know, our favor would, you know, diminish very quickly. You know, another point is, you know, responsibility will increase when the favor increases as well. And it's vice versa. If you are studious with it and you do well, you are a good steward, God will give you more. And when more comes, more responsibility comes. With great power, people say, comes great responsibility. Well, with great favor, amazing favor, even sometimes ridiculous favor, comes tremendous responsibility. And you got to lean on the Lord and say, Lord, what will I do? What should I do? Always be like that. David always asked the Lord, you know, for everything. He didn't assume anything. He asked the Lord the same question today. Tomorrow, the same situation arises. He'll ask the Lord again. You know, shall I pursue? Or will I overtake? Will you put them in my hand? God said, yes, do it. Well, those people came back later on, those Philistines, they'll never stay down. And David didn't say, well, the Lord said I should pursue last time, so I'm going to pursue now. No, he didn't. He went back to the Lord and asked him again. Shall I pursue? Will I overtake? I mean, it was a man that was, you know, instructed in always asking for the Lord's guidance. Even the story of Ziklag in 1 Samuel 30, when his, you know, wives, children, everything, and all the people that were him had been captured by the Amalekites and so on, and they burned their city. I mean, you would have thought he would just gear up and go after them. No. He didn't. He would, but first he'd ask the Lord. I mean, what are you asking the Lord for when your wife and children have been captured? Go after them and get them already. No, not David. He's going to ask the Lord first. You see, that was a man after God's heart. The Lord, shall I pursue? Will I overtake? You know, how shall I do it? You know, and so that's what you do. And the favor of God is upon your life. Favor of God was upon David's side, but the more and more, you know, he leaned on the Lord, God's favor continued on his life, you know. And when the favor of God is in your life, remember we did the story of David also. When the favor of God is in your life, the favor of God will take care of things. Don't take matters into your hands. And David didn't take matters into his hands. He let the favor of God take care of things. Responsibility. Part of the responsibility is also for you to understand what God is doing. You have to have accountability. When your influence and your resources are expanding, well, then your responsibility and accountability before God also, and the responsibility to your community will also, you know, grow. You know, that's it. God wants us to, you know, be even kingdom financiers. And if God brings tremendous favor your way, you got to manage it well. There was a young man in the scriptures. You know, we call his story the story of the prodigal son. Well, you know, it came into tremendous well. How he got it, nonetheless, we forget that part of how he got it, but he got it. And I always argue and maintain that this prodigal son did nothing wrong in asking for that, all that wealth, because Bible say, ask and you shall receive. And he asked. I mean, it was left to the father to say yes or no. All he did was ask. And maybe he put a lot of pressure on the man. I don't think it was just one day he asked. Probably he asked the man at first, but maybe said no. He kept asking. You know, I finally said myself, okay, fine. You know, but nothing wrong in that, because you're supposed to ask, you know, how to get. What was wrong was mismanagement. Now, so when the finances increased, Scripture says, when riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. Well, this man, he set his heart upon it. And then he went and squandered everything. He had no prudence. He had no training. He had no training at all. And if God puts things in your hands when you have no training, you will become a wreck. You know, as this man became a wreck. Can't even manage, you know, if you can't manage the favor that's going to come your way, well, you will become a wreck. Many people that come into sudden wealth or income or a balloon of things, or, you know, they get into something. Later on in life, their situation is worse. If they don't know how to manage that thing, it'll be worse. Because they go into a lifestyle, you know, because they think that, oh, now I got all this money, I got all this stuff, and then you start to do. Well, one day, that whole thing will be diminished and finished off, and their end state will be worse than the beginning. We've seen so many stories. We've seen stories of people that said they won the lottery, and at the end, they didn't do well. We've seen some great, you know, athletes and, you know, boxers and so forth, won a lot of money, and then they became poor. At the end, I'm like, how can you have all this money at one time in your life and then become so wretched and so miserable? Well, because they didn't know how to manage, you know, that favor, you know, and so on. Now, so also you must avoid being presumptuous, pride and so forth, you know, thinking that you got there. You see, pride will cause people to fall from the mountain top. You know, life is full of mountains and valleys. You know, when you are up on the mountain through the favor of God, you will celebrate his goodness and give glory to God and be a channel of blessing and be faithful in all things. But pride will get you down from there quicker than anything else. And while you are in the valley though, fear will keep you there. Yeah, fear will keep people in the valley. When God brings opportunity, people will be afraid of the unknown. They don't want to take a chance. Even out in the world, the people that have known how to do great things and have accomplished great successes, they were people that dared to launch out even into what might be unknown. As long as you sit in your comfort zone only, well, that's all you're going to have. You got to, you know, be able to launch out into the deep. That's what Jesus told Peter. But you do it at the bidding of the word, the commandment. For the child of God, the advantage you have is the Holy Spirit to give you guidance. You're not just doing things just by doing. You know, you have the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you know, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you to all truth. Yeah. So let him guide you. Let him instruct you. Let him even remind you of things that the Lord told you before. And these are all the things the Holy Spirit is supposed to do, you know. And here are some things that you must do, some principles that you do, that you, actions that you take to handle and manage favor properly. You must practice gratitude. That's right. Continually thanking God for those open doors. That's right. And the Lord brings those open doors as favor. You stand before the king, things happen. you know, and various things, and you know, opportunities in business, in commerce, in your job, in this and this, you know, things come to you. Well, handle it with gratitude. Hallelujah. Always be thankful and be grateful for the grace of God. You know, when you were little in your eyes, you know, God would tell you know, some of those kings like Saul and so forth. You know, it was a time you were little in your eyes. First time that God was going to, we saw the story of Saul two or three weeks ago, Saul and David. First time that he was going to be anointed king, he was hiding. He was nowhere. He didn't want, he just hid himself. They had to go look for him. Say, Saul is hiding among the stuff, but literally in his own eyes. Even though he was tall in stature, he didn't think that he could do this thing. Literally in his eyes. Later on, became, you know, proud and prideful in his heart and so on. So practice gratitude. Thankful for those things. And then, number two, you must handle those resources wisely. You got to be faithful in small things in order to position yourself for greater opportunities. You know, I'm going to read to you something that Jesus said in Luke chapter 16. This is a tremendous lesson on favor management. And it's right here in the scriptures. In Luke chapter 16, you know, Jesus was saying, ye are they which justify yourself before men. But God knows your hearts. That's verse 15. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Well, so you got to do it God's way or it might become an abomination, you know, to God. But let's go back to, verse 10 of Luke 16. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. That means God starts out with a little favor in your life. And if you manage it well, then it grows. Now listen to this. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, God put some opportunities for you to make some money into your hands. And, you're not faithful with it. Well, who will commit to your trust then? The true riches. You know, so tremendous riches, tremendous favor. I mean, amazing, ridiculous favor that God can put upon you. He's not going to do it if you don't manage the, you know, the first opportunity as well. And if you have not been faithful, you know, this is it. You know, people who want to go out into, business, entrepreneurs, do this and do that. Well, while you were working for somebody else, were you faithful there? These things are in the scriptures. If you were not faithful in that which is another man's, well, then who shall give you that which is your own? And Jesus said the same things. I mean, Jesus said these very things in the scriptures. People don't know that these things are there. So the integrity of your heart, even when you're working for somebody else, it's important. God is taking note of all these things. And the day that the opportunity opens for you, well, you know, some of your first measurements of how you're going to do will be based on how you already did. So Jesus is saying here, when you're working for somebody else, were you faithful? Well, if you were not faithful, well, you know, who's going to give you that which is your own? So be faithful, even when you're working for somebody else, and so on. And God will bring tremendous favor your way. Now, you know, some of you, God really wants you to work for yourself and do these things and become great. But remember, greatness is from the Lord. There's a story between Genesis chapter 11 and Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 11, there were a lot of people trying to be great, building themselves, trying to build a tower to heaven, trying to make a name to themselves and so forth. God eventually scattered them. In Genesis chapter 12, there was a man that wasn't trying to be anything. That was Abraham. Wasn't trying to be anything at all. Yet God handpicked him. And he said, I will make you great. Now, greatness is from the Lord. This favor is from the Lord that we're talking about. And when God puts it smack down upon you like that, well, be grateful. And do all these things that we are saying in this lesson today. Make yourself a channel of blessing to others. Serve others. That's the other thing. Use your position or influence or the favor that God brings you to, you know, serve others. And remember others also. And promote them too. When David, when Daniel was promoted, he remembered his friends who had labored with him in prayer. They prayed with him when they were all going to be destroyed because nobody knew what Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed, let alone tell the interpretation. And when God gave it to Daniel and Daniel was promoted, he remembered his friends, got them promoted as well. Praise God. David was also a man who remembered. See, said, who is it? It was already in the story of the Mephibosheth guy. Who is there that is left of the house of Saul that I might show him the kindness of God because of what Jonathan did? He remembered. See, when God promotes you and you become great, remember your small beginnings. You know, and favor also those, you know, that God will show you to favor, and those who helped you along the way as well. You know, some people forget that completely. Don't you ever forget it. You know, take care of things. You know, in order for you to continue to grow in God's favor and how to manage this, you got to practice these small things. Now, here's a summary of what we have said today. There is favor that comes from God, which may be upon you even from before you were born. Some people are born with it. Some people it was imputed unto them later on, but it was there. They just didn't discover it. And, you know, there are many stories that we saw of God's favor and the king's favor. One thing also that we mentioned is that, look, when the king has favored you like that, there's nothing else that can change it. And so as you walk in God's favor, have that confidence. Don't be afraid of the commandment of man. You know, the law of the land doesn't really matter too much when you are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. That king in that kingdom and order something for you. And even though you are here, remember Jesus said they are in the world, but not of the world. Even as I am in the world and I am not of the world. He said that in John 17 in his prayer. So even though we are here, we're not really governed by the law of the land necessarily. An ambassador that is in a foreign land is not subject to the laws of that foreign land. They're not. You know, they are just, they're there to represent their own country. And you can't come there. The foreign land can't come there to arrest them or anything like that. No, that's not how it works. If you do that, you're waging war against that country that they represent. They are above the law in that place, really. It's what it is. And as long as they are in that consulate and so forth, there's nothing anybody can do about it too. Anyone comes in there, you know, the local government has no jurisdiction in that place. You know, some of these things teach us tremendous things. And so see yourself as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, and Christ is your king. We read that in Zechariah yesterday. He said, in that day, the Lord shall be king over all the earth, and his name shall be one. Glory to God. Christ is king. Revelation 11 and 15. The kingdoms of this world becoming the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. Yeah. And if you see yourself, we already made kings and priests. Revelation 1 and 6 and Revelation 5 and 9. We're already kings. And if you see yourself as in his kingdom, then know that, you know, there's a certain set of rules and benefits that apply to you differently than what you may be experiencing in the physical country that you are in. You are citizens of a different country. Upon the earth, we may suffer a lot of stress and pain and disadvantage, but in heavenly places, we have an advantage. And what we need to learn is how to switch to the heavenly places. According to Ephesians, you know, chapter 2 and verse 6, we are already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we got to learn how to walk in that favor. Praise the Lord. And now that we have that favor, we need to learn how to manage it. If you manage it well, you will hear the words, "Thou good and faithful servant, you have been faithful in little. Here is more." Glory to God. More, and it's not only in the life, in the world hereafter that you can hear those words. No, it's right here. When you are faithful here, God will give you even more. Even in the things of the Spirit. Yeah. That's why most people, when they receive the baptism of the Spirit, they start out with speaking with tongues. You know, before they get some of the higher gifts. If they don't manage that one well, you may not even get some of the higher gifts. You know, so everything has growth and proper management. If you plant as, you know, you plant seed and so forth, it's growing. You got to do some things. You got to weed away the weeds. You got to water it. You got to make sure it has sunshine. You got to make sure it's growing and so on and so forth. And a little thing, well, if well nurtured, might grow up to be something great. So, you know, the essentials of favor management are the things we've covered today. Get rid of the fear and the disobedience. Obey my voice. Obey my voice was what God always told them in the Old Testament. If you obey my voice, Exodus 19 and 5 and 6 and so forth, you know, if you obey my voice, I will be, you know, you'll be a kingdom of priests unto me. But they did not obey, or they did not always obey. You know, so obey my voice, obey my voice. Disobedience will knock you off that pedestal of favor quickly. So will fear also. But we must step out boldly in faith. And then also with humility, pride will also get you out of it. We saw it that in the story of Nebuchadnezzar. And we must remain humble before the Lord, as God is promoting you and doing tremendous things in your life. You know, and sometimes it's so incredible that you don't even know whether you can say it, because people may not even believe it. Well, that's their problem. God will be doing these things for you, you know, whether they believe it or not. That's not your concern. You stay with the Lord and enjoy the favor of God, and be sure to carry people along. That's right. When your Lord blesses you, you know, be that river of blessing to others as well. So this is, you know, part of, you know, favor management, and I want to leave it here on account of time. There is much more to be developed on this subject, but I think you have enough. We can do a whole series on this, but you have enough for today. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray over the room, and I'm going to leave it here for today. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the word that we have shared concerning how to manage the favor of God, how to discover it, and once we discover it, manage it, flourish in it, nourish it, and grow in it, and be a blessing to others, walking all the time, walking in humility and in the fear of the Lord. And thank you, Lord, that we will be able to step out by faith. None shall be timid. None of us shall be afraid. We'll step out by faith in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. You have given us, O Lord, the understanding of this favor. You help us to walk in it, to manage it properly so that it will grow and flourish and become a great thing and to bring glory to God always. We give you, Lord, praise and give you, Lord, glory. Give instruction, Lord, even as you have given instruction to our hearts from day to day. You said, I will teach you, I will instruct you in the way that we should go. We guide you with my eye. Pray, Lord, that, you know, we will inherit and walk in these instructions every day and lean upon the guiding grace of God in our lives. To God be the glory. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.